Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of VoiceOvers On Demand. My name is Terry Daniel, broadcasting live from Minneapolis, where our sports teams, well, we just never seem to win. Trish Bassani is broadcasting live from New Jersey. I believe that's where you are. Are you not, Trish?
Yes, I'm here.
And on the line with us today, we have national voiceover artist and author Joan Baker talking live from New York. Joan, how are you this morning?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
We're great. I appreciate it.
Yes.
And looking at your bio, Joan, it looks like you've done some great work for ESPN and HBO. And I'm hoping when you're done with this interview that you add voiceovers on demand to your bio. Do you think you can get that done for us?
I think so. I think so, sir.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Can you tell us, when did you first get into voiceover work, or at what point in your life did you realize that, yes, this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I have to say that the knowledge that's out about voiceovers now was not out in 1991. So I actually, when I got into voiceovers, I actually didn't even really know it was a career. All I know is I was actually at a very low point in my career. Like I didn't have an agent still in my mind. I had been pounding the pavement for years. And something I'd always been able to do was just cartoon and character voices. And I had seen an ad in Backstage that said cartoon, character, and regular voice. And that just really spoke to me. I thought it would be another way to skin a cat. So I ended up taking four lessons to do a demo, and actually my demo was full of cartoon and character voices and just a couple of my regular voice. I didn't know anything about the industry. Like I said, I didn't even really know it was a career. I just thought it would be another way to try to get an agent. And it actually was the key that unlocked the lock. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise, I got signed right away with a top talent agency, and then I was literally out there and on my way. So I think I had beginner's luck because there was nothing that I was defending against in terms of fear, having any fears or anything. And like I said, the knowledge that's out today, and also the people that have a burning desire to do it today, it wasn't like that when I got in. So it was definitely more innocent and more like, well, you know, I finally got signed to a top agent.
Fantastic. Well, you know, and you probably, you know, you entered a time, too, where there wasn't a million people doing this, and I'm sure that was helpful.
No. And also, there wasn't people, like when I'd say to people, they'd ask me what I would do, and I'd say, oh, I'm a voiceover artist. They didn't even know what it was. Now, it's like, and people take off asking questions, and how do you get in?
Yeah.
But when I first got in, it was literally like, what do you do?
And it's funny, those people that were, you know, 5 years ago wondering what it was are now taking classes to do it.
Absolutely. And not only that, but it had always been their burning desire their whole life. So it's very funny how that changed. As a matter of fact, you know, I watch these shows on Bravo, these reality shows, and I think a voiceover, you know, a reality show with a voiceover subject, I think would be fascinating, and it would cover a lot because it would answer a lot of questions that most of the United States seems to have around voiceover.
Perfect.
Don't you guys think?
I think the three of us should do it together. We should. I think I'll move to New York, and I think my dream just
Harry,
came true, Joan.
The next flight, Jet blew it.
You got it. What an incredible idea! Matter of fact, I don't even think I'm going to broadcast this podcast because I don't want anybody stealing our idea.
Oh my God, that is a riot! But I'm serious. I mean, I've been thinking about this now for a while, and I'm like, it would answer the litany of questions. People could see the process. It could even go into the lives of the judges. Like, I'd be a judge. You guys would be a judge.
Oh, perfect.
I'm sure Don LaFontaine would be a – you know, we could get really amazing people. And it could also go into the lives of the judges as well as, you know, having like a – finding a voice, and it could be the voice of Fox or, you know, whatever the
tremendous
station is.
See, I tell you, this is the reason the writers went on strike, to give us this opportunity.
It is the perfect opportunity now. It totally, totally is. And you know, us voiceover people, we're like the unsung heroes of the entertainment industry because I find voiceover people unbelievably entertaining.
Well, God,
it's outrageous how entertaining.
Joan, you have a book out called Secrets of Voiceover Success. For those talents that may not have gotten to it yet, tell us what to expect.
Yes, and it's Top Voiceover Actors Reveal How They Did It. That title alone is definitely a passion. I'm always interested and very intrigued with people's points of view and also people's experience and how that experience sits through them. So I really created the book based on what I know I would gobble up in a book. I find even if I wasn't the author of the book, it would be a book that I would buy in a minute and gobble it up and also really treasure it. It's really an inspirational book. I mean, when you talk about the ups and downs in someone's very successful career in their life at this point, and you find out the trials and tribulations and the mindset that it takes, that it's not just, oh, I've got a great voice. It's actually your voice is so like fifth on the list of priorities. Mm-hmm. It's such mm-hmm. a mindset to really go out and expose who you are to people that could change your life. It's a lesson in being fearless.
Well, I understand that that also all the proceeds from the book go to the Alzheimer's Association, which I think is absolutely remarkable. Your father sounded like an extraordinary person. Any stories, Joan, or any thoughts you'd like to share on either the Alzheimer's Association or your father?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I, as a little girl, one of the things that I really dreamt about doing in my life and very serious was being a humanitarian. I wanted to be a dancer and an actress and a humanitarian since I can remember. And the interesting thing and the impact on me of the book is not just that I wrote this book, but more importantly that the inspiration came from my father who basically got robbed of his life through Alzheimer's and that I'm able to heal from that by contributing something that I really know to the world. And in return, all the proceeds go to Alzheimer's and in particular for a cure. And so it's kind of like a combination of my childhood dream being really brought to life in you know, my midlife. And I'm really grateful that I even came up with the idea. But I came up with the idea and I was able to do it because of the inspiration of who my father was to me. And actually who my father was with other people, but who he was to me was just so incredible that I feel like I have his wings on my back. Because I'm telling you guys, I am not an author. I never even thought of myself remotely as a writer. And if a psychic had told me, oh, you're going to write a book later in life, I would have laughed. So it actually really took a force to bring this idea to life. And it moves me. And that's what the surprising thing about all this is how moved I am. And also I have to tell you that everyone that is in the book is also moved. And, you know, people also in the book have told me that they said, we've always wanted to connect what we do in voiceover to a cause. And you've done that. Because the underlining thing around the book is that everyone in the book devotes their lives to communication, and we are now giving homage to people that have lost the ability to communicate, and that's one of the effects to Alzheimer's. So all our, you know, we devote our lives to self-expression, and we're giving homage to people that don't have that ability anymore, and it's just really moving and really incredible. Forget about me, but just in general, it's a powerful movement. And I can't tell you, I have the most incredible people in that book on board, and it just is mind-blowing.
Well, Trish and I will be in your sequel to that book. Is that a deal?
Ah, absolutely. Absolutely. My next step is, though, is to get it on a CD, to get it out there on CD, because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What better Grammy Award-winning CD would be with the incredible voiceover people in the book? I mean, please.
Incredible, yeah.
So I'm still pursuing it.
Joan, I wanted to ask you about your, among the many other hats that you wear, can you give us some information on your voiceover classes that you also teach?
I sure can. The class that I teach is a master immersion class. And basically, I created that actually out of the need of the Learning Annex seminar that I have been doing called Make Millions with Your Voice. And I just realized that there are many people that, you know, are interested. They really do have a desire, but they actually just don't know what to do. So I created the course where I teach the beginning aspects of technique. I have also three other teachers, and they're all top-notch industry people, an Emmy Award-winning producer. I have a top voiceover consultant, and I have a top voiceover talent agent that come in at different times during, it's like a 6.5-hour workshop. And they come in, and the voiceover consultant will come in during the lunch break and talk about the industry, talk about demo tapes, and the industry at large. Then after the break, I have the Emmy Award-winning producer, director, do audition technique. Taking direction. And then I have the top talent agent come in and teach audition technique. I do give people the knowledge of really what it would be like if you were going to take on this career. I give them the knowledge and a core training. So if they want to continue, they can continue training and then going on to do their demos, etc. It is an incredibly successful class. So far, I've been doing it all last year, and people have been completely and totally satisfied with what they come out. It's like a day of transformation.
I was scrolling through. You know, I'm addicted to this drug called MySpace.
Ah, I know, it's crazy. It's really addictive.
I think, Joan, I think you do have the record for making more updates to your MySpace page than any teenager in the country. But I saw on there that Nancy Grace is a student of yours. What kind of student
is
she?
Yeah, she was. Core TV actually hired me to, because when she first came to Core TV, her and Johnny Cochran had a show called Cochran and Grace. And at the time, I was doing the promos for that show. And Core TV knew that I was teaching, so they hired me to train Johnny and Nancy in terms of, because they did their on-air promos, so they had me train them reading copy and what it is to take direction. So I worked with Johnny for almost 3 years. I worked with Nancy for about 6 months, because that woman is all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
She's
like a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. So she was basically, that schedule that they had was amazing and crazy. But Nancy in particular was someone that was like catching a butterfly in a jar. But she was really amazing to work with, as well as Johnny. It was a really amazing experience. But those are probably two of the most famous people I've worked with. But I work with all sorts of people in the voiceover industry, all sorts of levels, as well as people in different, you know, areas like public speaking or their business people. Like I've worked with a lot of CEOs for Fortune 500 companies and stuff. So I've had an incredible, actually, career teaching and in coaching. I've taught at universities, and I taught at performing arts high schools before. It's actually been an incredible journey, just that. But, you know, my day is really spent auditioning and doing jobs. So it's actually a pretty busy day.
Well, thank God for that opportunity for all of us.
Yeah. You're a riot.
Joan, I understand you also do some on-camera work. Tell us a little bit more about maybe one of your experiences doing an on-camera session.
I actually have not, in terms of the on-camera commercial world. And I have a story then. And my story is that as the world would like to be diverse, it's actually an issue. And the issue of diversity definitely lands on me and people like me when they're trying to break into television. It's just in the commercial world, people like to put people's looks in a box, And my particular looks is not an easy category to box. So it's been, I have not done hundreds of commercials on camera. I wish I have. I've done a handful. And with years of auditioning and training. So it's still kind of a sore point. I mean, I also run a business with my husband. We have an advertising agency, and of course that goes hand in hand with voiceovers because of all the, you know, the different radio spots and commercials and stuff. So I've learned a lot being behind the scenes, a lot. And one of the things I know is in the advertising world is they definitely have departments that want to incorporate diversity and doing diverse marketing. And I find that to be really sad. That should be automatic. There shouldn't be a department for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're exactly right.
There shouldn't be conferences around diversity. It's the way life is. Why are there seminars on it? I don't get it. So that just, I mean, even though it's improved, why should it even improve? The world is diverse.
Oh, I completely agree. I completely agree. And, you know, it sounds... getting to the writer's strike, and I know it's becoming almost a cliche of a question on this show, but what have you seen out there, and what kind of effect has the strike had on you, Joan, and what are your thoughts? Are they going to resolve this damn thing? Because honestly, the whole thing is really irritating me, and every time I go online in the morning, there just doesn't seem to be any meetings scheduled about it. I know that Rob Siglampaglia is going to do a entertainment update for us towards the end of the show, and he does have he does have a couple of interesting things that have happened recently. So the needle, I think, is moving a little bit. When do you honestly see the writer's strike coming to an end?
Well, I have to tell you that I talk to a lot of different kinds of people in the industry about it because it's the topic of conversation here in New York, no question about it. And, I mean, my feeling is it is going to definitely be resolved. I really don't know when. It really seems to be, in the inside of it, a complicated issue. Though people like us that are looking from the, you know, outside of it, it seems like, what is the problem?
Yeah.
Get to the solution.
Yeah.
But it seems to be, like all things in life, complicated with people and their personalities and their own agendas. But I think it definitely is going to be resolved, but I really don't know when. And with all the people I've talked to about it, no one seems to have any real answers.
Well, it's funny. I was actually...
I appreciate that you have this update on the show. I mean, that's really brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got a couple of,
you know,
couple of interesting stories. I was just, you know, for the first time last night, I was kind of scrolling around. I got to say, TV just sucks right now. I mean,
it does.
American Gladiators and all these awful reality shows. There's just, I mean, I've got like 300 channels on my dish, and I went through them all in like 10 minutes, and it's just awful. There's nothing on.
I know, right? There's already nothing on, and now there's a writer strike?
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable.
It is.
Well, Joan, I you know, we're not going to take any more of your time, but I do appreciate you coming on the program, and you're welcome back anytime. And by the way, I am flying out to New York City next weekend. I'm going to hook up with Trish, and we're going to run around and have some fun. And Joan, if you're in,
I hope you come have some fun at my office downtown New York.
Absolutely. If you're around, we'd like to not to sound like a total suck up here, but we'd like to hook up with you as well.
Well, you know, I do want to say something that is coming up that I'm doing, and it's an event that revolves around voiceover and Alzheimer's, and it's called Voices Remember, and it's going to be on Monday, March 10th, and it's going to take place in a multi-million-dollar apartment on Central Park South.
Oh, wow.
And it's a charity event that involves Broadway Equity Care Fights AIDS. And the proceeds of the event are going to Alzheimer's and Equity Cares. And it's going to be an evening of voiceover people and top Broadway singers as well as top pop singers. So, for example, Phoebe Snow will be singing.
Oh, fantastic.
And I have Daphne Rubin Vega, who was in the original Rent on Broadway, she's going to be singing. I have Don LaFontaine's wife, Anita Whitaker, who's going to be singing. And all the voiceover people, or a handful in my book, are going to be at the event, and we're all going to be introducing the different celebrities that are going to come out and sing their song.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it's going to be in an incredible environment. And, again, the proceeds go to Alzheimer's for the evening, and it's going to be March 10th, Monday. The invites haven't gone out yet, but the tickets are going to be $525 per person, with the proceeds going to Alzheimer's and Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. There's more people involved, but I'm in the midst of working on it. So I know Paul Schaefer will be there and Chris Noth will be there.
Oh, fun. You know, I do, Joan, I do a mean Folsom Prison Blues.
I'm sure you do, babe. I love that. So I'd like to come back on the show and maybe give you an update when everything is complete.
That would be great. You're welcome. Wonderful. You're welcome back anytime. Trish, do you have anything else?
No.
Yeah, Trish, I'm waiting with bated breath.
No, that's all I had for now. I'm sure we'll have more for you next time.
Absolutely.
Joan, thank you for being so patient through some of our technical issues. I just moved into a new studio space in downtown Minneapolis, and we had some connection problems, and I appreciate your patience on that.
I appreciate the opportunity that you guys have created for people like me. You guys are absolutely awesome.
Good luck with the organization, your novel, your career, and hopefully, hey, maybe next weekend we'll just pop into your office and hopefully you'll be there.
I will definitely be here. And I'll be waiting with open arms, you guys.
Well, cool. I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate it.
Open arms and maybe some coffee.
Joan, thank you very much. You were a great guest, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too, you guys.
Hopefully we'll talk to you next weekend or something.
I'm counting on
it.
Okay.
Thank you, Joan.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
You're listening to VoiceOvers On Demand. That was Joan Baker, national voiceover artist and author of the book Secrets of VoiceOver Success, available everywhere. She was awesome, Trish.
She was amazing. I just love listening to her talk.
Yeah, just a passionate, very passionate about the industry and a good talent. And obviously, she's welcome back anytime.
Definitely, definitely. I'm sure there's maybe some people out there, our listeners, that might have questions for her or any of our past guests, or have some ideas on future guests or topics. So me and Terry, we'll both encourage everyone to either write to us or send us an email, whatever, you know, however you want to get in touch with us. You can, I'm sure, get through our websites or, of course, you know, through Facebook. We have a lot of Facebook people out there, right, Terry?
Oh, yes. I mentioned MySpace before, but honestly, I'm just as addicted to Facebook.
And we have like 250 friends on our VoiceOvers On Demand group there. So, yeah, a lot of people have found us. A lot of people have found us on Facebook. So, and we've found them on Facebook. So we want to know who's listening out there and your ideas and critiques and all that stuff. And so I think that's it for now, Terry. I think we'll turn it over to Rob Siglimpaglia. Siglimpaglia. I love his last name.
It's tough. He can barely pronounce it. That's what's funny.
He did an entertainment update for us, so I guess we'll go right into that.
Hi, this is Rob Siglimpaglia for VoiceOvers On Demand with an entertainment update. Well, there's been a significant development in resolution of the writer's strike. On January 6th, United Artists, which is the company owned by Tom Cruise and Paula Wagner, have signed a deal with the writers so that United Artists can begin to produce movies. Now this is significant because United Artists, for now, is the only game in Hollywood Town. And if they start to greenlight some nice projects, you better believe the other studios will be scrambling over one another to start working out their own deals. Now, I had previously predicted that the strike may work itself out and may end in a piecemeal fashion with independent companies forming their own deals with the writers. We saw this with David Letterman's production company, Worldwide Pants, which was the first to sign a new contract with the writers. Now with this United Artists deal, I believe we're one step closer to a full resolution of the strike. Now speaking of Worldwide Pants, The details of their deal are now public and can be found at the Writers Guild website. One of the most important points to the deal is that new medium in the form of rebroadcasts to the internet and cell phones is covered. And residuals ranging from 2 to 2.5% will be paid to the writers for rebroadcasting of shows. Now this is a very, very significant and great development. And I'll be watching closely to see if that becomes the standard for all of these writers' contracts. And lastly, the first major casualty of the writer's strike has been announced this past week. I'm sure many of you have already heard that the Golden Globe Awards has been canceled and it will not be broadcast. Now, some experts have estimated that the local Los Angeles economy will lose anywhere from $75 to $100 million as a result of the cancellation of this show. Well, hopefully all I can say is that the strike's going to be over soon without too many more losses for any of us. And that's all for now. This is Rob Sigampaglia.
That was Rob Sigampaglia with an entertainment update here on VoiceOvers On Demand. Well, Trish, I have to say that I am looking forward to meeting you face-to-face in New York next weekend. I don't believe we're going to have a show next week unless we do it live from some pub or coffee shop in New York, which is
that would be fun.
Which is always a possibility. So definitely, we'll definitely keep you posted on that. But until next time, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Trish, you have a great weekend as well.
Thank you. You too, Terry. I'll see you soon.
Hi, it's Trish, and you've been listening to VoiceOvers On Demand with Terry and Trish. We appreciate you tuning in to our podcast. Join us every week as we discuss different topics of the voiceover industry. And for more information on both Terry and I's voiceover demos, resume, etc., check our websites. For me, Trish Bassani, it's voiceoversbytrish.com. For Terry Daniel, universalvoicetalent.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.